The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore helps us become more honest versions of ourselves.
I mean, I'm Southern. I'm gonna say just a little bit more than was necessary. I'm gonna tell you I love you just a little bit more than I do. I mean, I love you a little, but I'm not gonna say I love you a little. I'm gonna say you are my best friend forever when you're not. You know what your mom say?
Discovering our true selves next.
They must be Beth Moore fans. I mean, when they get real excited, they just, well, maybe they're Jesus fans.
That's right.
But welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are so thrilled to share this time with you. I'm holding what I refer to as witness pens. And this is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, peace, self-control. And this is yours, along with this beautiful one, the names of God. And they all have such specific meaning. Now, they're two different types, but they're just fabulous. Mm-hmm. And they work mm-hmm. great. You know, a lot of times you get pens from people and they don't write. And these are wonderful writing instruments, but better than that, not only are they pretty, they give you an opportunity to witness. We offered some pens similar to this several years ago. And people told us that it was amazing how frequently someone would look at it and they'd begin to discuss the things of God, maybe in a public place, maybe you're signing a bank card, but we're offering them to you if you will help us share water. I want to read a couple of notes with Beth Moore's teaching today. She's talking about our true selves. Now, this is one of the points that she's going to cover. When are we crossing the line of working people? What's in it for me? Is there a single slice of insincerity in what you're saying? Then listen to this point. I think it's very, very important. Start facing up by going face down. I remember when I was asking people to pray for our nation and ask God to call us back to the shelter, Beth said, "I'll meet you on the floor, face down, praying for America." Well, let's learn about our true selves. Welcome, Beth Moore. Here's Beth.
Number three is this: we're called to work with people, not to work people. We are called to work with people. But we are being trained by a culture that works people. Now, just so you know what my terminology is, if you're in a different region of the world or in a different part of the country where they don't say it that way, what I'm talking about by working people is not that you're an employer. That's a beautiful thing. I'm talking about manipulating people, just working them. And so working with them. Listen. We are the people of God. No matter how much the rest of the world works people, we must stop. We are out of the will of God when we just join in with them, because our entire culture is all about working people, working people, working people, working people. We're all Jacobing in our own way. I want you to write down two words somewhere in your margin there. I want you to write down the words working people, working people. And this does not mean that we're just like hardworking people. No, working people. I want you to write down those two words. Then I want you to put between those two words a little V like that, that shows where you're slipping in a word in between. And I want you to put the word with. Because listen, girlfriend and guyfriend, we're getting our with back in our working people. Because we are called over and over again. The Word of God trains us all through Proverbs. So many of the epistles train us how to work with people. But our entire culture, and listen, you're indoctrinated in it constantly. through TV programs, through social networking. Social networking is one of the biggest things I'm talking about here. We've got to understand that manipulation is a form of deception. Listen, we think that if there is a godly result, it doesn't matter if there has to be a little bit of a manipulative means to it. And that's wrong. Because if it's part fraud, the spirit of truth will not be in it. So as people of God, we can't think, well, the end justifies the means. Oh, no, it does not. God never uses carnal, worldly, or manipulative or controlling means to bring to a godly end. That is not the way He works, and we are held accountable by Him no matter how much the rest of the world is getting away with it. And trust me, they are. Listen, one of the things that I can use that can help me figure out if I'm working with people or working people, I have to ask myself a couple of questions. And so I'm just going to pitch some out to you if this helps you. This is what I'm going to do, because sometimes it's a fine line. Would anybody agree with that? Like, at what point did I cross over that line where I began to work them? Because especially people that are real people. I mean, we can work people. At what point are we crossing over that line? Okay, here's the two questions I ask myself. First, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Now, in a business situation, you're trying to get your staff really motivated. Okay, say there's bonuses involved, whatever. Okay, sometimes there really is something in it for you. But you can know in advance, at least if there is something in it for you, you can know in advance, okay, I'm already on thin ice then. This already means because there is something at stake in this for me. There is something personal I could get out of what it is I'm trying to convince people to do. Okay, then I need to know already I am standing on very, very thin ice. I better be extremely aware that I'm walking in wisdom here, but I got to ask myself, what is in it for me? Is it a self-oriented goal? I'm getting what I want from them. The second one is this, and I've really been testing this. I'm trying to think. About 2 weeks ago, God began working this lesson in my heart, and I've thought about it ever since. And I mean, every day since then, I've thought about it, and I've just been dealing with whatever, because I'll just go in my own spirit, fraud. And I want you to, I don't want that to scare you. I believe my husband would tell you he knows the same woman that you have serving you today. But you know, when we just kind of, I mean, I'm Southern. I'm going to say just a little bit more than was necessary. I'm going to tell you I love you just a little bit more than I do. I mean, I love you a little, but I'm not going to say I love you a little. I'm going to say, you are my best friend forever. When you're not. You know what I'm saying? When somebody said, like, do you know what my name is? Well, no. Now, remind me. Remind me, because it's on the tip of my tongue. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody. So the second question is this. Is there a single slice of insincerity in it? A single slice of insincerity. Even if it's well hidden. Even if they'll never know it. But here's what's been happening. Because I'll hear myself. Because I see people all the time. Talk to people all the time. And I've begun to get this thing, because I've been asking God, deal with me on this, that when I say something that just has a slice, I can't tell you how many things I've said again in a different way over the last 2 weeks, because I think, say it again. This time, say it more honestly. Like, I think about you all the time. Well, you know, day before yesterday, it was really occurring to me what you're going, no, not all the time, but I have been thinking of you. I prayed for you so many times. Well, I prayed for you 3 times, but I did it with everything in me. You know what I'm saying? What is the slice of insincerity there? Now, listen, you and I live in a social networking world. And when you see the word social networking, working. I mean, they are working it. We are working it. And here's the deal. I want to be part of it. I like it. I'm not on Facebook because I don't have time for it. The ministry is, but I'm not personally. But I love blogging. I like Twitter. I like all of that kind of stuff. I love fooling with my phone. But I'm just going to tell you, I think there comes a time. Let me just ask you, if you describe someone you know, and she is a networker. He is a networker. Do you really, I'm just asking you, really, do you mean everything good by that? Because I bet you don't. I bet you'd laugh just a little bit. Do you know somebody that's just like, they're always running for president? Anybody? We're just always running for president out there. because they're networking, 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 networking. I'm just saying, we're on thin ice here, believers. We're on thin ice because this world that we're operating in is given to it. I mean, it is just given to it. And so I want you to hear, this is way, 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 way before social networking even became a term that we used. A.W. Tozer wrote something, a quote that I want to read to you. It says this, "The grosser manifestations of these sins, egotism, exhibitionism, self-promotion, are strangely tolerated in Christian leaders, even in circles of impeccable orthodoxy. Promoting self under the guise of promoting Christ is currently so common as to exact little notice." Exhibitionism, egotism, self-promotion. We're all about, forgive me, if this shoe doesn't fit, don't try to put it on. But I'm just saying, in this social networking world where Christians are just completely immersed, and I'm one of them, if we're not careful, we will use Jesus to promote ourselves. We will use Jesus to get us some followers. Not him. I got this many new followers. This is dangerous, and it is fraudulent, and it is not working with people. It is working people. It is working people. I mean, listen, we have a mass population of heel grabbers. You might know what I'm talking about, heel grab. Jacob was the original heel grabber. When he and his twin brother were born, he was born grabbing on to his brother's heel, grabbing to get ahead. Let me tell you what can happen. We have people that are so ambitious to be used powerfully of God that they grab the heel of someone they think is being powerfully used by God so that they can use them to get somewhere. Now listen, there's mentoring, where someone comes and takes your hand. I have the joyful privilege of being able to just walk with Priscilla Shire. It's one of the greatest joys of my ministry life is having these spiritual daughters. And listen, she was well mentored by several powerful women of God before I ever even came on her radar. But we have a close relationship. I've already heard from her this morning praying over this taping. I love her so much. I gladly take her by the hand in any way I possibly can and introduce her to anyone that will even listen to me. But not one time has she tried to grab my heel. Not one time. That's not hand-holding. That's not mentoring. That's not learning by example. That's grabbing on so you can get where they've gotten or get what they've got. And it's dangerous. I thought how the serpent bruised the heel of the seed of Eve, and how the enemy has been trying to grab onto the heel to supplant the work of Christ throughout all of human history. You want to see something so freaky here before we close? Look back where it says in verses 20 and 21. Now, let's all think up for a minute because I'm going to have to talk. I'm going to have to talk some original language here, but there's a reason why we're doing it, and I want you to appreciate it. And in the scriptures, particularly in Hebrew, there's this thing called narrative art. You don't see it as much in Greek, but in the Hebrew, it's not only what is being said, it's how it's being said. Very often a strong alliteration, very often real poetic language, very, very visual, very artistic language, and it's happening all over the place here. Because in 20 to 21, where Jacob said, "You shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us, for he thought," listen carefully, "I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterwards I shall see his face, and perhaps he will accept me." So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. Listen carefully. In the Hebrew, the word panim, which is the word for face, is used 5 different times in those 2 verses. If we were reading more literally from the Hebrew, it would say, instead of I will appease him, or I may appease him, it would say, I will cover his face. I will cover his face. When you and I are manipulating someone, it is as if, I wish so much I'd thought to bring a hand towel with me, because it is as if we are standing in that front of that person and we're covering their face with the towel while we're talking to them. We may even cover their face while we hug them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We'll meet with an employer and we'll just throw a towel over their face because we're trying to appease them by manipulation, by spinning it, instead of dealing honestly with the situation. I will try to cover his face. It goes on to say, the present that goes ahead of me, literally, it is that present that goes ahead of my face. In the ESV, it says it clearly, I shall see his face. That one is clear. Perhaps he will accept me. When it says that in the ESV, it says he will raise my face in more literal translation of the Hebrew. So the present passed on ahead of him in the Hebrew is it passed on ahead of his face. Five times, face it, face it, face it, face it, face it. Do you think Jacob was having to deal with facing it? I think so. I think so. And so that's what's happening. What God wants to do in us is get us to throw in the towel that we keep throwing over somebody else's face to appease them and face it. I say this as one who has been there so many times. Have you made a mess? Girl, I get it. I get it. Guy friend, I get it. I have too. Are you a mess? Oh, I've been one. I've been one. Has there been a mess made? Oh, I know about it. But there comes a time when we keep wondering why healing escapes us and we will not do the dealing that would bring the healing. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Our very last point is this. Start facing up by going face down. Start facing up by going face down. Today, find a place in your house. Go somewhere where you can be alone. Maybe if you're at your workplace, maybe you need to wait till you get home. Maybe in the public restroom, it would not be as great a place to try this. But let it begin. If you and I want to begin facing up, okay, I need to face this. I got a situation between a couple of my kids here that nobody's calling out, and it needs to be called out. This is what is going on. I need to take authority in an area where God has given me authority, but I will not stand up and say what it is I see. Anybody know what I'm saying? We're all just working people, work, and we're letting them work us, and we know we're being worked. Do we need to face up? Good, go face down. It starts right there. Go face all the way, face down on the ground and go, God, if I can face you, I can face anything.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Wow. If you can face God, you can face anything. Father, how I pray you'll take what Beth shares straight to the hearts of people, all of us, and that we'll be able to come into your presence boldly. It is a grace throne. But knowing that that's what we want, your grace, your truth, your will, in Jesus' name. We're so glad that you give us the opportunity, sharing this time with you, sharing Beth and what God puts on her heart to be a blessing to you. Betty, I met a woman. I went to speak to some men over in North Dallas at Elevate Life Church, Keith Kraft's pastor. The lady that helped everybody with all these mighty warriors, these great men, she told me, and she was almost tearful. She had helped as a hostess. She said, I want to thank you for putting Beth Moore on your program every week, because I think if you hadn't, I think my life was over. But God's used her to change my life. I'm glad you're blessed. Beth Moore is a blessing, and one of the greatest blessings she tells us that she's ever experienced was going to the mission fields with Life to share food and water and love. Life. I want you to listen to another beautiful woman filled with Jesus who understands what's really important.
We all face obstacles in life. But often the reward on the other side motivates us enough to overcome them. These girls in need of life-giving water face unbelievable obstacles. They labor for hours each day, for miles walked and climbed to get it. And they do. Their strength and resilience is astounding. But for what? For water that looks like this? That's no reward. It's filled with sickness and death. Something they've encountered all too much of. You see, their source of water is the one thing they can't overcome. But you know who can? We can. With your help. With your help, we can change the life of this girl, and this girl, and this mom, and this village. Please, all it takes is for each of us to do what God is leading us to do.
All it takes is each of us.
You know, James, as Tammy said, they can't do anything about it. They can't change their condition. They can't change that contaminating water. Those mothers would give their own lives to see their children have to avoid all the death that that disease water brings. But we can. We can make the difference. If you'll join with us, we can drill these water wells so that they can know the difference in clean water and diseased water. And I know which one they'll choose.
I remember so well when Betty and I were moved deeply on the mission field, so much so that we were ready just to leave everything here and just go and stay there. And they literally, it was a united request. Please don't stay here. Please go back home and ask people all over the world who've been blessed to make it possible for us to stay and do what God's called us to do. Please go and ask. And Betty and I really heard the call of God. The Lord let me know one of the giftings that He had given me was to inspire people. He said, James, this is your part in my heart. Inspire people to fulfill their part in my heart. And our part together is to put His arms around a hurting world, to reach out with hands of love and bless people in the area of their need because of what He has done in our heart. So we're giving water for life, and then we're telling people about the water of life that put this on our heart that can change their life. This year, we have undertaken, this is the largest number of wells we've ever felt like the Lord told us to drill in a single year. Over 500 wells this year. That's going to take every one of you. I wish I could reach out and take you by the hand and just say to you, you are so critically important for you to give a cup of water. Think about this. A gift of $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. This is to provide a well for a village that will last a lifetime. 500 areas, 12 countries. Would you help us give 10 people water? $144, 30 people. You can do that. Some of you can drill a well. They're $4,800. Or you can give a portion of a well, $1,200. Ask God to raise up three others to join you. $2,400. Pray somebody matches that. We have many people right now who have asked God, God, let me do this. God's heard their prayer. We have people who say, every year now, I look forward to drilling another well. I'm asking all our viewers to pray, let that happen for you. But right now, the majority of the support comes from people who give $48, $144. Whatever you can do, it's big to the people whose lives it will save. If you will dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But call the number and tell us what you're mailing. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. The names of God in a Bible study that you will love. Beautiful witness pens. The commemorative bronze, Living Water. We want to say thank you for giving the greatest gift, the gift of life. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Thank you so much for your help. I think most of you have surely heard that this is the year we're celebrating our 50 years of marriage, and we're still loving every minute of it.
Yes, we are.
And you work on marriages every day, not ever so often, not every 50th anniversary, our annual anniversary, it's every day. But we had 50 years and 50 years in ministry. This is a commemorative bronze celebrating 50 years. Living Water, it's a Robert Summers bronze. He's known to be the world's foremost artist, bronze artist. And he does this in love. We're sending it to those of you who will help us drill a water well. And we're asking you to make a special gift. I hope you'll do that. We thank you for whatever you've done today. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. I pray if you can drill a well, you will. Or whatever you can do, we say thank you. God bless you. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. Tell them about Beth Moore on Wednesdays.
This is what I want you to do. Tell someone you love them and dinner's at 6.
Reclaiming the art of sharing life around the table tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.